They're Terrified and Tipsy is brought to you by Slash and Cast.
I think I just saw a couple listeners drop off.
I'm sorry.
They were of the male persuasion.
They're like, these bitches are right. How are they on to us?
Some Frosted Flakes. Damn it.
God, I like never eat cereal, and sometimes I just want cereal. I used to eat cereal a lot growing up.
We have shit ton of cereal in our house.
Like the good sugary kinds?
We have... My personal favorite that I get really upset that the kids eat all of, usually, is Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, God, I love some CTC. So good.
Oh, my God, you use it? It has an acronym? What? CTC?
How could it not?
Oh, my God.
Growing up, we'd always have some CTC or some Cap'n Crunch.
We don't have Cap'n Crunch. Oh, we have Fruit Loops, Lucky Charms, mm-hmm. and I think we have some, what's the rice cereal? Rice Krispies.
Mm.
But that's just for making Rice Krispie treats.
With marshmallows, absolutely.
I mean, because why would you want like a puffed rice cereal with no sugar on it?
That sounds awful. It needs to have marshmallows in it.
Right?
Yes. I actually was never a fan of Lucky Charms growing up.
Mm.
The cereal is very underwhelming. It's kind of marshmallow to cereal ratio, so I was never really into it.
You do know that they sell like those marshmallows by the pack, right?
What?
Like a bag, like a huge bag.
I need to start buying cereal again. I really just, as an adult, I just never have cereal, and I genuinely like cereal.
My children love cereal.
I mean, would eat Cap'n Crunch all the time.
Mm-hmm. I'm literally anything with cinnamon on it, I'm good.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch is great because you can eat it by itself without milk too.
You could.
You could just eat it by the handful.
Which is crazy.
It's a quick snack. Are you can put it in like a baggie and just eat it.
Are you a monster?
I'm not saying I've done that before. I'm just saying it's an option if you wanted to. I wouldn't know from experience.
Pretty sure you have.
Definitely. <Basically. yeah.
laughs> Actually, just yesterday.
I'm like,
like, Stephanie, are you eating Cap'n Crunch now?
No.
Or Cap'n Crunch? Cinnamon Toast Crunch. CTC. Sorry. CTC from now on. I'm going to say, hey, kids, do you want some CTC? And they'll be like, what?
Like, get on board. It's the crunch.
It's the crunch. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we watching?
We are watching episode 4 of Midnight Mass, continuing our series.
Yes.
Have you been enjoying the series?
I have been enjoying the series.
Me too.
It took a minute because obviously the first couple episodes, we had to find out who these characters were, who we liked, who we didn't like.
I was a little bit nervous about doing this when we first started because it's like, it's called Midnight Mass. So obviously it's like heavily religious.
Of course.
And I was a little bit scared about like covering it as an episode because I didn't want to make anybody uncomfortable or be judgy on something or offend anybody. I didn't want to do that. But I think we're doing a decent job of staying neutral.
I mean, if we're offending anybody, I apologize.
It's never our intent, ever.
No.
We honestly just never want to offend anybody.
We didn't make this series. We're just covering it.
And we can't help our opinions sometimes. We're going to judge it a little bit.
Of course.
But our intent is never to offend anybody.
Well, we're not criticizing the religion.
Hell no.
We
would never.
No.
Because everybody what's the does their own thing, has their own beliefs. You do you.
Yeah.
There's just certain characters that we are just going to hate on. And it has nothing to do with religion. It's just these people are awful.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Don't be a bitch.
Like that Bev Brady bitch. I hate her. She's awful.
Yeah. There's nothing.
She's just condescending.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. She talks in circles. Just get to the fucking point.
She's got an answer for everything, that girl.
Just get to the point.
Nobody or just stop talking.
You know what? She doesn't get to talk to a lot of people all the time, I guess. Mm-hmm. So she just has to get it out.
I guess so. And maybe. I'm over it and exhausted by hearing from it.
Well, we've got a few more episodes. So get
on board. We're like halfway through now.
I know we are. Look at us. We're just flying through.
All right. Before we hop in, should we remind our friends of a couple of things?
Of course we should.
TipsyPod.com. Everything you need to know about the podcast is on that website.
Yes.
You can find everything. You find our social media on there. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. It's all on there.
It is.
Super easy. You can find ways to support our show, whether it's buying some merch or buying us a glass of wine from buymeacoffee.com.
Or maybe the Patreon.
Patreon. There are three different tiers. Pick the one that works best for you. Either way, it helps support our show, and we love you for that.
Yes, we do.
But you get certain exclusive content. You get videos that people don't get to see unless you're on the Patreon. You get ad-free episodes, episodes a day early. You get to vote on episodes that we watch.
Give us suggestions for movies.
Yes. And then we're going to give you a shout-out, too.
What?
So check out the Patreon. It helps support our show, and thank you very much for doing it.
We love you.
Would you like to hear the IMDb synopsis for it?
Yeah.
Okay. An isolated island community experiences miraculous events and frightening omens after the arrival of a charismatic, mysterious young priest.
His name is Father Paul.
It sure is. And Father we learned a lot. Okay.
Okay. Wow. Are you jumping to the end already?
I can't help it. No, I haven't seen the end yet. I'm just, no, okay.
Okay.
Would you like a lightning recap of episode 3?
Oh my God, please. Please do it. I can't wait.
All right, let me limber up a sec.
Oh, all right. You stretch? You good stretched? Okay.
All right.
Okay, here we go.
You ready?
One, two, three, go.
Okay, so the entire town is shook that Lisa is like literally this walking miracle. It's all they can freaking talk about. They are apparently handing out Bibles and talking about scripture in class, and the sheriff is not a huge fan of that. We learned that Monsignor Pruitt and Father Paul are literally the same person. Because Monsignor Pruitt, when he's on this tour in Israel, he gets lost from his whole tour group. He ends up in the desert in a freaking sandstorm, ends up in this cave with these creepy, evil, demon, angel things that are like cave-dwelling monsters. They attack him, suck his blood like a vampire out of his neck, but then feed him their blood back, and now he's like completely Benjamin Button dust, and he's young again. And now he goes back to town, and he is the priest there, and no one has no any idea that he's Monsignor Pruitt. I guess he's another freaking miracle, because he dies, but then comes back to life.
Good job.
Thank you.
I really like the description that you gave of the angel demon
cave dwelling monster.
I like that. That's my favorite. A cave dwelling monster.
They kind of are.
Well, I mean,
they got creepy glowing eyes, and we assume that they're naked. I mean, I keep jumping back to that for some reason, but I just assume they're naked.
I'm sure the angels are naked.
Although we see one in this episode, it's clothed. It's fine. Oh, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. He's got like a weird hat. It's fine. We'll get to it. Okay. We'll get to it. I have so many notes on it.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm going to need you to take it down a couple
notches. Like a trench coat? Where did he get it from? Okay. We'll get to it.
Was he the guy that was running on the beach when Riley went out there?
I don't know. See, I thought it was Father Paul. Do they ever tell us?
No.
I don't know.
No,
I assumed it was Father Paul.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, so many questions.
We still have questions, even at the end. Okay.
Yes.
So we are on episode 4, Lamentations. So we see Aaron getting a baby check from Dr. Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
When Sarah tries to check the baby's heartbeat, she gets this look on her face, and I'm like, Aaron, don't look at her. Yeah. Okay, anyway, so she can't
because
find it.
Aaron's really talking about, like, the baby and all these things that she's heard, and she's, like, getting excited about it, and Sarah's face is not looking so positive.
She's not. She's panicked a little bit, and she goes to do a sonogram but kind of turns
the screen
away from her so she can't see it, and we can sense that she's, you know, concerned.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in the uterus.
Literally empty.
It's gone. Like
Aaron's
nothing.
Like, where's my baby? And she shows us the screen. It's like it's vanished from her uterus.
She said that Aaron must have miscarried. And Aaron's like, no, like nothing. She's like, well, sometimes women will block it out.
Right. But she said with how far along she is, like she would have visibly seen something. No.
She demands to know where her baby is. And she can't give her an answer.
Oh, I feel so bad for
her. I know. So Bev gets to Father Paul's house. Okay. We do hate her. She brings in some food for him. You know, he says he's hungry, but then he doesn't eat anything.
Yeah, she brings him chicken ginger soup, which sounds bad.
Doesn't it?
That doesn't sound good to me.
I don't know if I want ginger with my chicken.
That's my thought, too. I was like, chicken soup, noodles, I'm in. All day. But adding the ginger makes me a little uncomfortable.
Maybe it's because it helps your stomach. You know, ginger helps
if you're
your stomach,
sick, I get that.
But not ginger and chicken soup. Okay.
I don't know. Maybe just like ginger tea with some honey, maybe?
Can I have some noodles with my chicken?
Hell yeah. get some carbs up in there.
I'd like some chicken noodle soup.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Actually, I would like some right now.
Oh, brothy. Yum.
Brothy. Okay. So he says that, you know, Bev has always been a woman of great faith, and he wants to confide in her. He said something is shifting inside of him, that he can feel God moving inside of him.
I remember when I was younger, I experienced times of great spiritual growth, but it's nothing like this. It's like I can feel God move inside me.
And then he said that he just needs to be left alone for the rest of the day because he needs to pray.
Yeah, for some reason, the imagery of something moving inside your body just freaks me out.
That was bad verbs.
Because he was so descriptive of, like, something literally moving around inside his body.
Well, and that's why he was, like, kind of, like...
doubled over in pain.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah,
okay. But Bev, like, hears him talking about that, and she's like, well, that's great news that you feel it going through your body. And I'm like, I think you're missing the point here, girl. Because he literally feels something physically inside his body. Yes. Not spiritually, physically in his body.
Which I think... I mean, he had his sermon and he mm-hmm. was like, it should be something that you should see or touch or feel.
Yeah.
Not something that's just kind of like a metaphor. So yeah. He's physically got something going on inside him.
Yeah.
Okay. So before Bev leaves, she mm-hmm. tells him that, you know, they're going to keep quiet for a while about sure. what's going on. But he's going to eventually have to tell the people, like, who he is.
Yeah.
Okay, so Bev, obviously, this is the first time she knows what's going on.
And she is totally cool with it.
Right.
She knows from that article on the wall that he, Father Paul, is Monsignor Pruitt, just Benjamin Button the shit out of us. And she's cool with it. She thinks it's fine.
Yeah.
And then he shows her that because she tries to open the curtains in his room at one point.
Yeah.
And he says to keep them closed. And he shows her that when he puts his hand in the sunlight, his hand starts to burn and almost like it's like acid, like smoke from his hand. And I'm like, is he turning into a weird angel thing? But I also don't understand how his hand is burning now.
I don't know, because that's a very good question.
Because the three episodes before this one, he was outside in daylight, like masses in the morning. He has to get from his house to the church. He got to the island during the day on a ferry. Like, how is it all of a sudden now his skin is burning if it's in contact with sunlight?
Maybe he hasn't eaten people before.
Maybe. And I'm also wondering if it has something to do with, like, the weird demon angel thing that follows him. It's proximity to him. Because maybe if it's close to him, his body, because he's having all these weird pains that he didn't have before.
That's true.
So maybe his body starts acting different when this is near him opposed to it not being with him.
I don't know. I
need answers on
it. We're just making assumptions at this point.
If someone has watched the series and knows why all of a sudden his skin is boiling now, please tell us. Because I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know. It's just bubbling up now.
It's bubbling.
It's a bubbling skin.
All right. So Ed and Riley are on his boat, mm-hmm. on his fishing boat. Ed thanks him for helping. And, you know, Ed wants to talk to Riley.
Ugh,
like, have this, like, thing. Really heartfelt conversation.
It wasn't.
He made a confession a couple days ago about the resentment that he had for Riley, about not wanting to be on the island. And he had resentment about, you know, him having this accident. Like, there was a lot of resentment.
The legal fees they had to pay Correct. For him. So he's trying to apologize to Riley for this resentment he had toward him, but it's all backhanded.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's like, I resented you for all this stuff. And then he starts saying that he realized for your kids to behave this way, it has to be because of one of your parents. And your mother is a saint, so it's got to be me. And I put you in the wrong direction. And Riley's face the entire time is just like,
stone.
The fuck?
Yeah, like, it's like,
this is not a good apology.
You're not doing a real good job. Not a job at all.
Dad, just don't say anything.
Well, at the end of this conversation, he's like, I love you, buddy. Like, I love you. I'm glad you're back.
Right.
Whatever. But
it's awkward and backhanded.
A little rough.
Yeah.
It's a little rough.
Yeah.
So now we're back with Dr. Sarah, and she has a vial of blood that she got from Aaron,
yes.
and that she's going to be sending it off for testing because
yeah.
she's like, you know, I need to know what's going on.
100%.
I don't know where this baby is. I just checked it, like, whatever, last week, and mm-hmm. everything was fine. So her mother comes in, and she starts quizzing her about, you know, who she is, some of her past memories, to kind of check on her to see how she's doing.
Oh, she's nailing it.
Oh, she is. Her mother ends up leaving to go get some tea.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Sarah turns around, she sees that this vial of blood that she got from Aaron is bubbling and smoking.
And it's literally cracking the vial.
Yes.
As if it's acid, again, acid inside of a vial. It's bubbling out of it, completely sealed closed.
Yes.
What? Weird.
Right. And of course, in Dr. Sarah's mind, she wants to know what's going on because she's more of, like, the facts oriented, not
sure.
that, you know, there's something going on.
Right.
Okay. So Riley is over at Aaron's house,
mm-hmm.
and she has finally decided to go through her mom's things.
Yeah.
She tells him about a story of her mom building this dove coop, and that at 7 years old, Aaron had to hold one of these doves so that it could have its wings clipped.
Yeah, because Erin got these multiple doves from the mainland as pets. And as soon as she got them, her mom wanted to clip the wings. And then her mom says...
And she told me, now get this. Again, this is her 7-year-old daughter she's talking to. She said, everyone gets their wings clipped at some point.
And then Erin asked her mom, did you get your wings clipped?
Just like a normal child would.
She's 7.
Yeah.
Because she's not the fuck she's talking about. And her mom says...
Yep. Oh, yes. Day you were born.
She is a bitch.
But Erin is going through this whole emotional story about how her mom was going to clip the wings of this bird that was in the palm of her hand. And she said that she can feel the bird like making like these cooing noises as if it like trusted her, holding her. And she's like, I don't know what came over me. I just let the bird go.
Yeah.
And her mom was pissed.
Ends up hitting her, yelling at her. Mm-hmm. She said that she married her mother.
Because she ran away when she was 16.
Correct.
To get away.
She said that she would have died in the house with her then husband had she stayed, but she got pregnant. Mm-hmm. And she started thinking and she's like, I just need to get out of here.
I can't have my kid in this situation.
Correct.
So she starts saying that the baby that just vanished is what saved her and saved her life.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That's so sad.
That part is very sad.
Yeah.
So now Riley said that he has repeated dreams. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of like going back and forth with these stories. But he is telling, you know, telling her about this dream that he has repeatedly every single night about him being on the water in a boat. And the sun is about to rise. But he can't paddle anywhere. He can't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. He just feels like he's never going to get off the island. Like, yep. It's kind of like an omen that he's never going to get off.
Mm-hmm.
She asks him to pray with her.
Yeah.
And then she asks for God to help her understand and have mercy on both of them, mm-hmm. you know, just to kind of help them get
so
through.
So full of sorrow.
They mm-hmm. really are.
Yeah.
So now we're with Father Paul and he's finishing up the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. He's praying that, you know, and there's this like growling inside of him. Mm-hmm. Like this growling is a lot.
Yeah.
So he realizes that he has squeezed the cross on this rosary that he has in his hand.
Ugh.
He has like put 2 holes in his hand.
He literally punctured his hand with the cross in the rosary. He was holding it so tight in his palm.
And then he begins to take the like the long end of the cross and cut this larger hole in his palm. And then he starts drinking it.
Yeah. His own blood.
I'm confused. Does it work that way?
Because you would think if he's got the taste for blood. And he's got to drink more blood. How would drinking his blood be satisfying?
I guess because it's going into his stomach and it's not.
Maybe it's like tricking the brain. Like if you're hungry, you eat gum and you're like, oh, look, I'm chewing on something. My brain is tricked.
Maybe.
And he's like, oh, I need blood. I'll trick my own. Am I tricked yet?
I don't think it's tricked for too long.
No. He got the taste for it. He needs some blood.
He needs some blood. In the grocery store now.
You mean like the grocery store / sheriff's office?
Yes, that one. Yes, that one.
Not to be confused with. No, that's it. That's my last word.
Nope. It's those 2 things.
All on the island. Yep.
Okay. So Joe is staring at the beer in this refrigerator.
Yeah.
And the sheriff kind of comes up behind him. He's like, how's this not going to go, Joe? Mm-hmm. Like, is this what we're going to do right now? Because mm-hmm. I think he probably knows that he's going to the AA.
Because Joe is like talking to himself, like fighting himself to not pick up a beer and
correct.
Drink it.
Mm-hmm. So he ends up just like walking out.
Yeah. He's like, how the fuck should I know? And storms out of the store.
Calm down, Joe.
Just a simple question.
He's just angry. He's just so angry. He really wants that beer. Okay, now we're back with Father Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes out of his house. And like, I thought there was like a light orb that was kind of flying around to him.
I saw it too.
Okay.
But so, I couldn't tell if it was like part of the movie. I couldn't tell what was happening.
Well, it never comes back.
Yeah.
So I don't, because I mean, the angel itself, because I was thinking maybe it was an angel, but I'm like, the angel shows himself. He's not like in an orb.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what that was. I don't know if it was just like a camera.
Yeah, that he was seeing maybe. I don't know.
So he keeps praying to the angel mm-hmm. over and over and over and over again. He goes to see Sarah's mother for her mass that mm-hmm. night. And then he walks in.
And she's starting to look younger.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so fucking
every
weird.
Every time we see her, she looks really
younger.
Young. Yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
But when he walks in, she calls him John.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, my God, she knows.
Yeah.
She knows.
She knows.
Okay. So he's like, yes, with God, all things are possible. And she, you know, she looks so young. And then he says that he has so much to tell her.
He's so giddy.
Yeah. Gives her communion. Like mm-hmm. they're kind of like laughing back and forth. Like they just.
Because I think him as Monsignor Pruitt and her, like Mildred, I think her name is.
Mildred.
They're probably the same age.
Yeah.
Like in their actual like normal in time bodies right now as older people. But now they're like having this like age rewind thing, and they're both younger people seeing right. each other, and it's fucking weird.
It is weird.
They're like tripped out by each other.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so strange.
Well, because now that Mildred knows what's going on, like she's
yeah,
not
because she's dementia. All of a sudden healing. Mm-hmm. She can remember things. Her body doesn't hurt anymore. She can go up down the stairs. She's getting younger. It's so bizarre.
It is bizarre. Mm-hmm. So Erin is still talking to Riley. We're uh-huh. back in Erin's house. She thanks him for praying with her, mm-hmm. you know, all day, but she knows that he doesn't believe like whatever she's saying.
Sure.
So he said that he understands it. And if you feel comfort from it, then just do it. Sure. Like whatever makes you feel
very
comfortable.
Accepting.
Yes. She asks him what he thinks happens when they die.
Oh, boy. Deep subject.
He goes into a matter of fact thing, you know, conversation. He says that his body is going to shut down. His brain cells are going to start dying. Mm-hmm. He will dream of memories and imagination, and then everything will stop. Mm-hmm. He's just going to become food for the earth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He'll have this one last weird psychedelic kind of dream.
Yeah.
Before he just becomes nothing.
Okay.
And it was like, when he got into all this detail, it started off kind of cool.
Yeah. Because
he's like, going into this detail about his brain cells, and then I'm just worm food. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's not wrong.
No. Because he's like, my body will just go to feeding, and that's... But what was really sad is, and it kind of shows Riley's view on himself, because he says that his body will start, like, feeding the earth, and he's like, that's just kind of my purpose. Which was right. sad to think that he thinks of himself as just like, well, I guess the only thing I can do to be useful is just feed worms. It was sad.
It was sad.
He's just so like self-deprecating.
Well,
he's at a low spot.
He is very low spot. Mm-hmm. So he asks her what happens when she's going to die. And she talks about her baby that died. Mm-hmm. That, you know, she only got to dream. That God sent her down to just sleep. Mm-hmm. And then he called her back. And now she's wrapped in love. And she's pure. And mm-hmm. she's just...
With her great-grandparents.
Yes.
And Aaron's dad. And she's at the perfect age. Heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we're at Father Paul's house again. Mm-hmm. He is muttering a prayer over and over again.
Why was his front door open?
I don't know.
His front door is like wide the fuck open, and he is rapid fire praying, pacing back and forth in this living room.
I don't know. Maybe he needed some fresh air.
Maybe.
Maybe he wasn't it getting just... enough through the windows. I don't know. He just needed a little bit more. He just needed a little refreshing.
Just open the door wide the fuck open.
He pours wine, I think, wine into a carafe. I'm not sure if it's blood, wine. Who knows?
Who knows at this point?
He begins to make more groans and growls in his stomach. Uh-huh. And he walks outside and yells, "Where are you?"
Yeah.
He's like, he knows that this angel is around him someplace, but uh-huh. he doesn't know where it's at.
Yeah.
He begins to cry.
Uh-huh.
So he goes back in, still reciting this prayer.
Chugging this blood wine thing.
Chugs mm-hmm. the wine he's poured for himself. And as he's downing it, Joe is at his front door watching him do this.
Yeah.
And then Father Paul like stutters as he just feels like he's just gotten caught mm-hmm. by the town drunk who he's
not
trying
so drunk
to help.
Joe.
Not so drunk Joe. yeah. So he got caught by a drunk.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Mm-hmm. Not so drunk Joe.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's like going through AA. So I mean, that's right. probably not
and
a
also,
good look.
And also Father Paul is in this weird kind of vulnerable meltdown, mid-meltdown right. state. And then there's Joe, who he's supposed to be helping, but he's having his own meltdown. So it's kind of awkward.
Yeah.
So Joe says to him that, you know, he was having this really crazy urge at the sheriff's office grocery store. And he remembers that Father Paul told him that he can come by anytime if he needed to talk. But he was saying, because he can tell that he was visibly looking off, he's like, I can go. Like, I don't have to stay here.
Yeah.
So Father Paul tells him that he can stay, and he walks into the house a little further, and he sees that article on the wall. And he's looking at it, and he tells Father Paul that the resemblance to him is uncanny, as if it could be his son.
Right.
Or as if, like, he could be the guy's son in the article.
Do you think that maybe you should take that article down off the wall if you're not wanting
Why
everybody
did he
to,
hang
like...
it there?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
Well, I mean, I guess back in the day, like, it was kind of a good thing.
I
like,
guess.
When, you know, because obviously Monsignor has been
he
there
was
for
proud
like
of
ever.
It. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Not So Drunk Joe was joking, like, oh, it's possible. You know, there were rumors around that, you know, Monsignor Pruitt could have been a little promiscuous. So maybe he does have a son. I don't know. Awkward. So he goes to leave the house, and Father Paul starts telling him that, you know, he's proud of him for coming here, and starts kind of getting it together a little bit, saying nice things, and then opens his arms to hug Joe.
Which Joe's not all about it.
He was uncomfortable.
He's real uncomfortable.
For sure. So he's like uncomfortably accepts the hug, but then it becomes this creepy bear hug. where
and there's some sniffing going on.
Yes. Father Paul like buries his face deep into not so drunk Joe's like neck and is like sniffing the shit out of his neck.
Yeah.
Like, calm down.
Yes.
You're just showing all your cards right now. So Joe is getting uncomfortable, of course, and he's trying to like wiggle out of this weird bear hug situation and he can't like break free from the father's creepy grip. So eventually he like pushes away from him. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? Stumbles, of course, falls backward, smashes the back of his head on the corner of this table, hits the ground and starts bleeding all over the place.
Of course he does.
And also the front door is still wide the fuck open. Just to remember.
For this little tiny town, you would think that all of this ruckus and noise and yelling would have caused attention from somebody.
Probably
would
think so.
At least Bev, right?
She's up in everybody's business, especially Father Paul's.
She's like, what?
Father Paul? Are you calling me? His butt. It's unreal.
Well, Father Paul ends up leaning down as he's like on the ground, like convulsing and kind of looking real almost dead. Yeah. He touches the blood with his fingers that's like pooling out from around his head and he licks it.
He's like aggressively like licking his fingers.
Yes. Joe is watching this as he's like lapping up this blood on the ground.
Because he puts his face in this puddle of blood and is like slurping it off the floor.
His lips are touching the ground.
Ew.
Licking it off these floorboards. They cannot be clean.
No.
They cannot be clean.
And then eventually that wasn't enough because he evolved into having Joe like on his lap and he's slurping the blood straight from his scalp. Mm-mm. And Joe is still alive.
Yeah.
He's being vampired. Yeah.
You know what? He could have gotten a splinter in his tongue.
He may have.
Licking up the blood.
Is it worth it?
No.
Is it worth it?
Let me work it.
Flip it and reverse it.
Okay. I don't know. Okay. Okay. So the next day, we see Riley and Aaron waking up in the same bed. Mm-hmm. And
nothing
I said,
scandalous,
oh,
guys.
Oh, what's happening? I'm like, oh.
They're fully clothed.
Both fully clothed, nothing laying scandalous. On top of the blanket.
Just company for each other.
Aren't that cute?
This time.
For the whole time.
The whole time.
Okay,
yeah.
Don't get crazy. He said that he had the same dream that he always had last night, the boat on the water. Mm-hmm. But this was a little different. Instead of him waiting on the sunrise, Aaron was there too.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cute? Mm-hmm.
Is it maybe foreshadowing? Ew, I don't know. We'll get there.
Foreshadowing. So he asks if she wants him to walk her to church because obviously it's Sunday. And she said that she wasn't going to church, but she was going to the mainland to get a second opinion on what happened to her baby.
On her vanishing baby. Yeah.
She does. A vanishing baby is a correct way to say that. And then I was like, is Dr. Sarah going to tell Aaron about the blood boiling in the vial? No.
I don't think so, but she probably should have. Because if nothing else, she's gunning another vial of blood.
Because surely she knows that she is going to the mainland for a second opinion. So why wouldn't she give her that information?
Mm.
No, we don't tell her about what's going on? No?
No.
Okay.
All right. And then at the mainland, when they take her blood, I don't want to hop ahead, but like, does it happen there too? Because we don't know.
Well, no, because it's probably not in the sun.
It's closed off in the darkness.
Exactly. They don't have real lights in there. Real sun.
Just fluorescent lighting.
Just fluorescent.
Just harsh fluorescent lighting.
It's not good for your skin.
Make everything a little green looking. People are like, who the fuck cares?
Keep going. Nobody cares.
Come on. What happens
next? Come on.
Next?
Come on. Tell us what's going on. So Aaron asked Riley if he wants to come back tonight and stay with her. And he said that he would.
Oh,
such a good
little
guy.
Little snuggle party.
Isn't it? Snuggle party. Would they even get close enough to like?
I don't know. They were just like, they woke up just looking at each other. And I was like, gross. Well, when I wake up in the morning, I'm sure I don't look cute. My hair probably looks crazy.
And your breath. And you just, yeah.
I got like crust in my eyes. You know, I probably don't look cute in the morning.
I'm sure you do. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think so.
I mean, I think your dogs would love you.
No, I love them. They're so cute.
They don't care what you
they
look
like.
They
don't care.
Okay, now we see the sheriff looking real concerned, sitting on the couch as Ollie comes out dressed and ready for church. He doesn't look happy.
Yeah.
But he knows that Ollie is curious and just kind of lets him go. Mm-hmm. Ollie thanks him.
Yeah.
That kind of go
struggle's
about their business.
Real.
Mm-hmm. It really is. So as church starts, we see Aaron heading off to the mainland.
Mm-hmm.
Flashback to the church that they are all checking their watches, waiting for Father to come down the aisle.
Yeah, the guy is
never
like
shows
playing
up.
The organ and like nothing's happening. And I'm like, why are you still playing the organ? Like nothing's happening.
Well,
they're all waiting on him.
Maybe they're just, he's trying to like.
And he's still like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, whatever. And it's like, why?
Just like that?
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
you're a fantastic keyboard player. You should join a church.
You just learn things about me in my talents.
I don't know if that is a hymn or not.
Oh, no. It was definitely way too upbeat.
Sure. Okay. So Bev goes to Father Paul's house to kind of check on him, see what's going on, see why he's not at the church.
Yep.
But the door's locked.
This bitch.
So she opens the door with a key.
She has like a custodial ring of like hundreds of fucking keys.
It's got to be at least 5 inches in diameter.
What access does this bitch have to the island? She has so many keys on that chain.
I know.
Who is giving this bitch keys?
And she can't lock up the rat poison?
Seriously. But it's like, okay, cool. Why don't you just, as soon as someone doesn't answer the door, you should definitely let yourself in.
Of course.
That's definitely the polite thing to do. She just fucking barges in. She knows which of those hundreds of keys is the one for the house. And she walks in and she sees Joe dead on the ground.
Yes.
And she sees Father covered in blood. And she's like, okay, well, we gotta deal with this.
I know.
Like, not shook at all.
No.
She don't care. She literally like steps over not so drunk, but definitely dead Joe's body.
Yes, she does. She does step over him. And then Father Paul starts to talk to her as she like crouches down to like talk to him.
Yeah.
And she tells him to like, hush, don't say anything. It's okay.
We're going to have to get you cleaned up.
Get you cleaned up. We're going to get you to the church. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the fuck?
But he shows her like he can't go out there. He puts his hand in the sun again. It's burning again.
He's like, here's the thing. Here's the funny thing.
Minor flaw in your plan. I'm going to burst into flames if I go outside.
I'm going to start sizzling.
Yeah.
Like a steak.
And she goes, all right, well, here's what we're going to do. And she just leaves his house. She power struts back to the church. She walks up to the altar and tells everybody that he's still fighting a stomach bug. So she invites Dolly, the mayor's wife, up to just sing a hymn for everybody, lead everybody in a song. And she gets the mayor and that guy, I can't remember his name.
Sturge.
He like helps him at the church, grabs the two of them, and they just leave the church while everybody's singing.
Okay.
And they head over to Father Paul's house.
Yeah. So now Bev tells them that they just need to roll him up in the
area rug. Yeah.
Yep. In the rug. Mm-hmm. Tie a brick to him.
Yeah.
And then dump him 5 miles off the coast.
Yeah. She's really been thinking about Joe's death for a long time, I think. She's really been planning his death.
And she's not even calling him Joe. She's calling his body it.
Yes. She's like, we'll just hide him in the abandoned building during the day. And then at night, just drive off into the ocean somewhere and just drop his body with an anchor.
Put it in your truck. Take it to one of the empty houses on the West Bank. Do it now while most of the island is at church. And then tonight, late, tie an anchor to it and drop it 5 miles out.
Girl.
Yeah, she.
A lot of detail. You've been planning this for a while.
Or she's just quick. I don't know. She just could be just like sadistic. Just
think on her feet, maybe?
Maybe, I don't know.
But of course, the mayor and Sturge are like just staring at it because one, the father is covered in dried blood. Like his face, his chest, like his clothes are covered in not so drunk, but definitely dead Joe's blood. And then Joe is on the ground and the mayor's like, I don't want anything to do with it. I'm not going to go dump his body in the ocean. Ugh, and then Bev gets on this tangent. God, she has the lengthiest monologues I have ever freaking heard.
She talks in circles constantly.
Yes, and she starts talking about how this is what God wanted Father Paul to do. So with his own hands, he killed him, but that's what he had to do. And then starts saying to the mayor, basically like, did you want to put your daughter back in a wheelchair? And starts like pulling at his heartstrings to be like, this is the man who put her in a wheelchair.
Right.
A miracle has happened here. You're going to question that, but not take care of the guy who hurt your daughter in the first place.
Right.
Let's figure this out. Wrap his body up in the rug.
Don't question God. This is God's will.
Mm-hmm.
This is God's will.
She says, do not cherry pick the glories of God.
Okay.
I'm like, calm down, Bev. Take a breath.
She can't. She is so passionate.
This is where I wrote my notes. I'm like, I hate her, but I like her passion. I can't stand it. But they do it. The guys just like pick him up and put him in the rug.
Oh my God. Bev, stop it.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Just take a breath.
She can't.
It's fine.
She can't.
God, you thought I'd get worked up. This bitch.
Oh no, this bitch.
She puts me to shame.
She really does. So now we're back in the doctor's office with Erin on the mainland.
Mm-hmm.
And when the doctor comes in, she said that there must have been a mix-up with her information that she had given her. And Erin's like, why? And she said, well, your HGC levels are normal and basically show that you've never been pregnant.
Yeah. Her body shows zero signs of ever being pregnant.
What?
What? How?
She, and as far along as she was, she yeah. would have had, for weeks, she would have had hormones that would have, you know, pregnancy hormones.
Right. Because she got back to the island already pregnant.
Right.
Before she started attending mass, before Father Paul showed up there.
She was real
so
pregnant.
So she was pregnant, at least halfway through.
Yeah.
So it's not like she all of a sudden became pregnant or thought she was pregnant. No, she was already pregnant before she started going to mass.
Wasn't it like 20 weeks or something like
that? Something like that. She was like halfway through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ooh. So the doctor goes on and asks her if she would like to talk to someone in their psych department. And Aaron's like, what the fuck?
Like, okay, girl, pump the brakes.
I'm going to need you to like just take chill out for a second. Easy.
Everybody just needs to calm down.
So now we see Aaron back on the ferry because she's like, I'm going to get the fuck out of here.
Absolutely.
And she's like looking a wreck because obviously she didn't get any answers of what she was looking for about what happened to her baby mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yep.
All right. So now Riley is at the rec center for his AA meeting mm-hmm. again, but the door's locked.
Yep.
Okay. So he looks at his watch and he's like, okay, weird. It's a little bit past time or whatever.
Yeah.
So when he looks up, he sees Father Paul standing on the porch of his house, on the front porch.
But not normal standing.
In like an odd stance.
Like a hunched over, like
arms out.
Shoulders at his ears, like did not look natural.
I don't know.
I didn't like it.
I didn't like it either. But Riley kind of waves at him. Yeah. And then Father Paul comes over like nothing happened.
Yeah.
He's like,
him in.
Oh, hey.
So sorry for running late.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not okay. So Riley talks about his conversation with Erin about mm-hmm. her baby and asks Father Paul what he would have said to her,
yeah.
you know, like what would have been better or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that he would tell her to just lean on God.
He works in mysterious ways.
He works in mysterious ways. You never know God's will, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So Father Paul asks if he wants to go ahead and get started. And Riley's like, shouldn't we just wait for Joe mm-hmm. for a minute? But Father Paul says he's not going to be there today. He's doing good, but he went to the mainland to see his sister.
And Riley's face completely changes.
Riley's like, mm-mm.
Because if you remember from last episode.
Yes.
Joe told Riley that his sister died a couple years ago.
Yes.
So Riley was like, okay, bitch, you just lied to me.
Yeah. He okay. lets it go for the second, but he logs it.
100%. Handled it well.
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm.
So now at dinner that night.
Not like Stephanie. I would have been like, I thought his sister. I would have totally blown my cover. Been like, are you sure he's visiting his sister? Because I thought his sister died.
Yeah.
That would have been awkward as fuck.
Right.
He handled it well.
Well, he did the typical guy response and just not say
shut
anything.
Down.
Right. He's like, noted. Let's move on.
Noted so I can forget about it.
Oh, shoot. Dang, girl.
Sorry. Shots fired. So sorry. So sorry.
I think I just saw a couple of listeners drop off.
They no, were, come back. They, I'm sorry.
They were of the male persuasion.
They're like, these bitches are right. How are they on to us?
All right. So at dinner that night,
mm-hmm.
Annie talks about how Father Paul is a saint, that with all of the running around he's been doing, no wonder he's gotten himself sick.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Really working himself hard.
He's, no, oh he's God. Not. He's just, he's got something inside.
They all just choose to have blinders on.
They really do.
Mm-hmm.
So a little later, Riley is getting himself dressed to leave, and mm-hmm. his mom asks if he's going to go out, you know, with Erin that night.
Mm-hmm.
She tells him that Riley, you know, never really thought Crockett as home.
Yeah.
But now that the miracles were happening for everybody on the island, Annie didn't need her glasses, Ed's back was better, and Riley would be healed too. Mm-hmm. Like, she was convinced that with him being back on the island and all these miracles happening to everybody, that he was going to be healed yeah. just like they were.
She wants him to at least look for faith.
Right. And then Riley snaps back
yeah.
and calls Father Paul a liar.
Yeah.
He said that he caught him in a lie tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't go into it with her.
Yep.
Typical guy response. but he's like, you know, I just, he was lying to me.
Yeah.
I don't really trust him.
Yep. So okay. he just gives his mom a big hug and a kiss and tells her to pray for him. And then he leaves.
Yes. And that is it.
I feel like if someone left like me that way, I'd be really scared. Like, are you okay? Is something going to happen? If
yeah.
you're going to pray for you? Like, I would be, like, very, like, red flag to someone that's when they're leaving.
Well, especially Riley.
Yes.
Because he's not
he's
someone
not
that
religious
asks for
at
pray.
All.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. She was like, oh, how sweet. And I'm like, red flag, girl. Red flag.
Well, Annie obviously has blinders, just mm-hmm. like you said. All right. So Father Paul is pacing back and forth in the rec center with
yeah.
this empty bottle of wine sitting on the table. Or wine, blood. I don't know what it is. reciting this prayer over and over
like
and over
rapid
again.
Rapid fire saying this prayer.
Yeah, all of a sudden, the angel in a trench coat and hat.
He's wearing a goddamn hat and trench coat. Where does this angel get the clothes from?
It's in. He's a big angel.
He's tall. He's like the size of the doorway.
Where would he find a trench coat and a hat that big?
Okay. Because again, the door of the rec center, wide the fuck open, right?
Of course it is. Because
yes. I guess the angel just doesn't know how to open a fucking door. So the door's open for him to help himself and come in. He's standing in the doorway wearing a very long trench coat and a hat.
Yes, he is.
And I don't know where an angel who we're assuming is naked would get a trench coat and a hat from. But he's wearing one.
You are obsessed with this naked angel.
You are where would he get clothes?
Obsessed.
But now he has clothes and I don't understand where he got it from.
Maybe there's a tailor on this island and they, you know, specific, he asked for this and maybe he just went through somebody else and it was like, I need you to help this angel man.
Yeah, he's naked. He needs to cover it up.
He needs a trench coat.
Or maybe Father Paul was like, when you come to get me my fix, I'll leave a trench coat and a hat. I don't know why the fuck he needs a hat. He's bald. Why does he need a hat?
Maybe he looks normal now because they won't be bald. But I'm just, what I'm saying
is. It's on the front porch for him to like put the cover up on, the disguise, and then get to the rec center in a trench coat.
He needs some of those glasses with the, like, nose the mustache. He needs one of those. But you know what? I think it's easier for a trench coat because he doesn't have to make like long arms.
He's got to hide the wings somehow
too. Yeah, I think a trench coat's the best thing. Especially if he's naked, you don't have to worry about pants and the length.
But
and
then
like
he
the...
also kind of looks like a flasher because he's naked under there.
Oh, that's true.
So now he kind of looks like he's like, blah, this flashing people his weird naked angel body.
I don't think
that's his side hustle.
Side hustle. Okay.
So anyway, let me get myself back on track.
I don't know where we. Okay. Anyway.
So that weird trench coat angel now walks into the rec center and Father Paul is now on his knees the ground, like so happy that this angel is there. The angel walks over to the carafe and with his weird talent thing slices his wrist again and starts dumping all of this blood into this carafe.
Yes, he does.
Filling it. A lot of blood.
Well, he's a big angel.
A lot of blood.
He's got a lot of blood in him.
Got some long limbs.
Okay, so yeah, he fills it up, whatever. Ugh. Okay, so Riley gets to the steps of Aaron's house.
Yeah.
Before he goes in, Riley says to himself, his sister.
Yeah.
Thinking about Joe and his sister.
The
and
lie.
Yes. So he's like, I'm going to go talk to Father Paul.
Give him peace of my mind.
So instead of going to Aaron's house like he said he was going to, he walks over to the rec center.
Mm-hmm. Doors wide the fuck open.
Doors wide the fuck open to confront Father Paul. Mm-hmm. He walks in. Father Paul is kneeling on the ground praying. The angel is filling this carafe at the other end, obviously in a trench coat and a hat.
Incognito.
Oh, yes, he is, with his glasses and mustache. So Father Paul's like, oh, okay, so this just happened. Uh-huh. So what are we going to do? So Riley looks at this angel. And the angel, like, turns around and then flies at him.
So fast.
Lightning speed.
Yes.
Bites his neck.
Yeah.
And then Father Paul just kind of calmly walks over to the door and just
closes it. Now he does.
Well, you know, he wanted to get fresh air. He needed fresh air.
Riley is getting vampired.
Yes.
And Father Paul is like, ooh, I guess I'll give them some privacy, I guess.
Right. Guess I should close the door and let them have their moment.
Ooh, awkward. He closes the door.
Okay.
What?
Well, that's the end of episode 4.
The speed that trench coat angel flew in was so fast.
I have a question.
Yes.
How did he get his wings out of that trench coat?
Well, I don't know. You would think a trench coat would be very restricting for wings.
Right. Because he didn't take it off.
No.
When he flew at him.
He just dove really fast.
Maybe he has wing holes.
Maybe just... It's like little, like, it's like a little butt flap in a onesie. It's got like a little flap in the back. Yeah. And just pop out.
But it goes all the way up to his neck so his wings can pop out.
Just flies around.
Yeah.
I think
I think that makes sense.
I'm going to envision it as like a little button flap on it.
He's got a wing hole trench coat.
And the hat stood on the whole time he was flying and drinking blood. So, hey.
He's efficient.
He's very efficient.
He's an efficient flyer. He's going to get his angel wings.
So that was episode 4.
Yes.
Obviously, next we're doing episode 5. So watch episode 5 and come back and listen to our ridiculous tangent about episode 5 again.
Because I can't wait.
Whatever.
Can you add in the angel wing trench coat?
Of course. Thank you. I would have to. I'll do my lightning fire lightning round recap thing.
Love it.
I'll put in that.
I feel like you need to like nail what that is. A lightning round.
What should we call it?
I don't know.
Should I call it like lightning round recap? Just do it that, keep it simple.
I think that's great.
Lightning round recap.
Okay.
I like it.
Okay, great.
All right, reminders, tipsypod.com has everything on there. You can find all of our social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. You haven't done it with me again.
I know. I'm so scared I'm going to mess up.
Maybe next time we can do it.
Okay.
Our Patreon is on there. Our merch is on there. Any way to support our show is going to be on there under the support tab. So check it out. And come back next time and we'll chat about episode 5.
I can't wait.
Bye.
Bye.
Would you like to hear the IMDb synopsis for it?
Oh, I missed that.
Do you want me to do it again?
Yeah, that felt right.
I am a robot. Do you need me to repeat myself?
You did such a good job, too. It sounded exactly the same you did the first time.
Thank you. In case Dustin wanted to cut, I didn't want him to yell at me, so it's fine. We just did it the same way.
Yeah, it's fine. We want to please Dustin. It's all about Dustin. Lamentations. Fucking
Did you
hell.
Say lamentations?
Lamentations. It's not limon.
Lamentations.
Lamentations.
It's hard to say.
Lamentations.
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 I believe you.
Did we say it right?
I don't know.
Okay.